Well, we started last week on the Spirit was given for good reasons, and we went down through the, going back over the issues of what the reasons were, because there are multiple reasons why God gave the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Him in this particular era of God's plans. And the first one that we considered was the inadequacy gap. He was given to us because our spirits were inadequate to the task of living a life that's biblical and true and loving, just. And so to fill in the weakness of that inadequacy, He gave us His Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which as He does that, we find ourselves being more and more in line with the things that He wants to see come through our lives. And then we talked about the distance problem, the fact that lack of focus, getting our eyes off of the things that are true. We've used the Hebrews passage where you're supposed to be running the race with your eyes on, looking unto Jesus. We used the illustration from Matthew where Peter got out of the boat, and as long as he was looking at Jesus, he could walk on water. As soon as he started looking at the impossibility represented by the wind and the waves, he sank. The whole issue there is a focus issue. And it doesn't mean you have to go around all day long saying Jesus under your breath, but that wouldn't be a bad habit unless you didn't have anything else to do that needed to be done. But my point is, we need to keep our attention focused on what God has said and on His Son and the provisions He's made and that kind of thing. So, on the basis of clarity in regard to the inadequacy and distance problems, we come up with another problem, and that is what I'm calling the problem of ignorance. Now, that's not a pejorative term. Everybody's ignorant. I hear people say all the time, well, this is probably a silly question. The only kind of silly question there is when you ask somebody something that you already know and you're just wanting them to tell you otherwise so you can do otherwise. That's a silly question. But typically, if it's a question that you have in your mind, it's not silly. And when we're dealing with an infinite God and omniscience as a concept, every created being under heaven, doesn't matter if they're angels or humans or whatever, we're all so grossly ignorant till it doesn't even... I mean, how do you measure infinity and try to pour that into finitude? It just doesn't go. So, the ignorance issue is an issue. The answer to ignorance, both of these conditions, the distance inadequacy issues, are apparently not givens. Otherwise, we would have far more believers on who consider the Word of God as absolutely authoritative and who practice faithfulness in their stewardship according to the spiritual gifts they've been given. So what's still missing? And the answer in a word is knowledge. That's what's missing. Isaiah said that God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's true. If you get in a situation where you are ignorant of how things work, you can get yourself in dire straits real quick if you do something that's contrary to the way things are operating. I had a pastor friend that their conditioning wasn't working very well on the unit at the church. And just before church time, he went down and opened the door thing to the fan on the air conditioner. And he looked at the belt and the pulley, and it didn't look like it was running. He stuck his finger down there, and it just clipped it off. Not the whole finger, but it was running. But it was running so smoothly that it looked like it was sitting still. Well, he shouldn't have had his finger in that. He's not a refrigeration man. But my point is simply, knowledge is a critical issue in almost every circumstance of life that we run into. We can get ourselves in a crack real quick if we don't know. And so, the answer to the ignorance issue is knowledge. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, and this I think is probably coming out of the authorized version because I can quote it on print, in print, and not have to call it plagiarism. 2 Peter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What he's saying there is that grace and peace are not available if you're not aware that they're available. If you're ignorant of the availability, you can't make use of it. And the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus are critical. When Jesus was trying to identify what eternal life was in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee." So knowledge is a big deal. And he goes on, "According to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." It's through knowledge again. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence," this is the focus issue, "add to your faith virtue," this is the submission to authority that the authority issues that are in the scriptures, "and to virtue add knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, the Holy Spirit was given to us because we're ignorant. And his giving to us is to bring us into awareness, knowledge. And in concert with this text, we have Paul's affirmation in Romans 12:2, that we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. And that's a knowledge issue. Colossians 3:10 says that renewal is unto knowledge. So the issue before us this evening is the Spirit's function of closing the ignorance gap. And you have to keep in mind what I've already said about that. Ignorance is a relative concept. You can be fully knowledgeable, well, you can never be fully knowledgeable of anything, because that means that you've stretched your mind in one direction to infinity, and that hasn't happened. But you can be more aware in certain areas of your living and less aware of others, and it's in the area of our relationship with the Spirit of God that we need to understand, because it's relating to him that brings us into life as an experience. So he's going to work with us on the ignorance gap. That's why he's been given to us. So what is the ignorance problem? I've already given you an illustration of getting your finger clipped off. That's part of the ignorance problem. But it's not a data deficiency problem. Our problem is not that we don't have access to the information we need. Remember, he said we have certain great and precious promises, that by them we might participate in his divine nature. Well, Paul told Timothy that if a man would fix himself in this book, he would be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Most people don't believe that. Most people think, well, you know, I believe the Bible is necessary, but there's just an awful lot of other things that you need to know too. That's not what Paul told Timothy. If you are aware of what's in this book, you're ready to perform every good work, whether you have a seminary education or a third grade education. Education is not the issue. Spiritual enlightenment is the issue. So, it's not a data deficiency problem. We've been created with an effective set of sensory receptors. We call them the five senses: touching, tasting, hearing, smelling, so on. And those receptors are constant in keeping the data flow moving in the storage facility that we call a brain. The people who study the physical brain and stuff, they tell us, and I don't... it's not in the Bible, so you just have to decide whether they're telling us the truth or not. But they tell us that all of the sensory perception that goes in through our eyes and ears and, you know, the five senses are recorded in our brains. The problem is being able to get it out.
Finding.
And they've also discovered that the difference between somebody who has a photographic memory and somebody like me that doesn't is a particular chemical. And if you could inject that chemical into your brain, you would be able to recall everything. Wow. Just. Well, in the thought processes, but in terms of storage, we don't even know how much of our brain is involved in the storage thing. But the fact is, we have these receptors, and we have this brain, and we have this much time on the earth, however much God gives us. And in all that time, our brains are absorbing data. So it's not a data deficiency thing. If anything, nowadays, the data flow borders on overload. It's too much information. And now they got AI. Well, probably most of the... it will be used diabolically, let me just say it that way, until Jesus comes.
It's very scary what they're
doing. Well, we shouldn't be scared by it, but we need to be aware of what the signs of the times are. When men get to the point where they're going to build Babel, and God said don't, He'll figure out a way to stop them. Well, we already know in the New Testament His way of stopping us is out of here. We're going to go out of here. And then He's going to unload on the people who refuse the truth. So, in the issue of the Holy Spirit addressing our knowledge deficiency thing, it's not data deficiency. Proverbs 1 says that wisdom stands at the head of every street, calling out, "Listen to me." Well, that's a figure of speech, but the picture is a legitimate picture because wisdom, we live in the flow of wisdom. We just don't know what is the wisdom and what is the deceit. Before deception was allowed into our created universe, there was no such thing as having to decide whether this is true or not. It wasn't until the serpent came into the garden and put forth an idea before Eve that she had never thought about before, was when deceit came in. Because she had never given any thought to whether God had her best interests in mind at all. She just assumed that was true. She was experiencing his goodness all day, every day. All night. Plenty to eat, plenty to drink, whatever. But the serpent suggested that he wasn't trustworthy by just flat out contradicting him. He said, if you eat that, it'll kill you. And the serpent said, it will not. And that's just a flat out contradiction. Well, at that point, she had to decide. Made a bad decision. But the point is, she had been surrounded by truth this whole time. And when that serpent came in, deception came with him. And it upset the flow of the truth. It forced a choice as to what's true and what's not. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork, day into day, utter speech, and night into night, knowledge. What He's saying there is the whole creation's talking to us all the time. But again, it's the data overflow, and we don't know how to handle all of the stuff. Well, it's increasingly becoming worse because we're living. The point is, though, that Psalm 19 just point blankly says, Paul argues in Romans chapter 1 that the creation shows the power and personality of God so that men are without excuse. Well, that means that God's requirement of what we understand is a very low bar. But it's high enough that if we ignore what the creation's telling us, then we don't have a leg to stand on when God calls us up to judgment. So we have, in addition to the physical creation in Psalm 19, the last half, we have a written revelation from God that makes the claim that a comprehensive grasp of the contents of this book will make us adequate to every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:17. So the problem is not a data deficiency problem. So what is it? Well, B is, it's a selective shutdown problem. Yes, it is.
Well, like Daryl's selective hearing.
I figured that'd probably come up sooner or later. Not for Daryl, but for all, you know, the whole issue of selective. But it is. It's a fact. It's a fact that you cannot entertain in your brain a focus in four or five different directions at the same time. Now, some moms are capable of doing some of that because they have to or they wouldn't survive as moms. But by and large, you're not really focusing on four or five things that are different. You're just shifting focus constantly. And the issue of a selective shutdown thing is that nobody pays equal attention to all the impressions that come through the senses. You can't. You cannot. It'll drive you buggy. Okay, so the fact is nobody pays equal attention. You just can't. Nobody determines to pursue all the sources of data that ping on us through the senses. We can't. There's some things you just got to let go. So everyone selectively ignores two things, input and curiosity. Everyone selectively resists the processes of comprehension in spiritual things because we came into this world at enmity with God, and we have an automatic rejection mode when it comes to spiritual things until God, the Holy Spirit, breaks through that. He shows us the love of God in Jesus, and then all of a sudden he's not our enemy anymore. So the fundamental assumption of Christianity is that God has spoken and must be heard, and the fundamental assumption of man is that the contents of the Bible are not worth the effort to either obtain or understand. This is a treasure beyond description, and it lies idle in most of the homes in America. And if you were to open it and read some of the things, they'd say, I've never in my life heard anything like that. We had a blowout on a tire on a trip out to the West Coast one time, and it was Sunday morning. So I pulled into the local Walmart that had an auto place, and they did tires. And so I told the young man, I need a tire because my ox is in the ditch. He had no clue what I was talking about. Never heard that phrase. That was a very plain indication of just how ignorant people are of biblical truth. And if they have never been exposed to it, they can't know it. It's,
did you explain it to him?
I didn't try. He was working. But that's the problem. B, it's a selective shutdown problem, and we're built in. We have a built-in rejection mechanism that we got from our linkage with Adam, and it has to be overcome by something, and that something has to be the Spirit of God, because we're certainly not capable of overcoming it ourselves. And then thirdly, it's a data discernment problem. Even for those who accept the fundamental assumption of Christianity, that this Bible is an authoritative, inspired word of God, and there's life in every word. Even those of us who buy that, there are still problems, because truth isn't the only thing out there that's pinging on us. And the universe is set up on a fundamental ratio of investment return. Small labor produces a small return. Paul taught that clearly, that your return is going to be according to your investment. So if you sow a little, you'll reap a little. If you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. That's fundamental. Every farmer on the planet knows that. And so does everybody else. Except when it comes to studying this book. Very little input, very little outcome. It's a principle of the universe. It's a fundamental principle. So truth must be begun to be seen as more valuable as its depths are exposed, just as digging for a hidden treasure. It's kind of like the guy who's going along looking for gold all his life, and he chips with his little axe tip, and he hits a rock that catches his attention, and he looks at it, and it's got a little line of gold running through this rock. So what's he do? He doesn't pick that rock up and go home. He starts digging. He's looking for where that vein's going to spread out and get big, and he's going to be a rich man. That's just the way things work. And typically, that's why Jesus also said, the Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, if that's true, and it is true, then the truth needs to become a treasure, and we need to dig for it. So, man's finitude, that just means we're finite. It precludes comprehensive understanding. So the confusion's pretty much automatic. It is. You ever go out, if you're your mechanical skills are totally zilch, and you go out and get in your car and you put the key in and it goes clunk. Most of us have had that happen, so we know what clunk means. Call your husband, call your wife, call somebody with a battery, come give me a jump, you know, like, call somebody. But that's what I mean by this lack of comprehensive understanding. Confusion's almost across the board. It's really a marvel that there are 20 people in this building that are getting along with each other. It's a marvel. If it weren't for the Spirit of God, we would be so fragmented in our interests and everything to where we wouldn't even be able to do anything with each other because we've got something else more important to do. But because we're here, we all give credence to the thesis that this is the Word of God and there's life in it.
Well, basically, all the same type of people do the same things. You know, everyday life, you know.
It's part of the blessing of being a child of God to have people around you that are also His children and love Him and love you too. Well, we're out of time. We still have some stuff to think about. We'll do that perhaps next week. I'll probably have another set of notes for you too. But I would like for us to pray for John and Destiny and their family.